Everybody ready to get started on what looks like it's going to be our final comp zoning work session? Today is the 24th of July 2013 at a little after 3 p.m. And we have, we're just going to be doing some wrap up here. Do you want to go exactly in this order? I know there's a couple issues that folks put on the agenda to discuss. Yours, Calvin, looks like it's really broad. Do you want to do the other
script? No. I was trying to narrow the focus.
That's
so
what I thought.
You don't need to look at that.
I suspected that that was it. Courtney, you want to talk about temporary storage and compatibility with farming?
I just want to ask if the administration's been able to clear that up.
What? Temporary storage and compatibility with farming. Can you give us amendments or where are we looking?
This will be for the administration amendment to number 70. And number 70 is kind of the one that addresses many issues related to keeping of animals. And the language that is related to outdoor accessory, that's how I'm going to go. Okay. Thank you. The regulations for accessory uses and outdoor accessory storage were really geared towards addressing homes within neighborhoods where we had some problems with hoarding or maybe just untidiness that was excessive in terms of the neighbors. So that was what the focus was. There was concern that this might then affect small farmettes that were certainly residential but were also keeping animals and might have some additional accessory needs that would be atypical compared to most residential normal neighborhoods we had in mind. So essentially we're going to be proposing an amendment that says that the language related to these limitations on how much and where and how screening can happen on residential lots really applies to residential lots or parcels that are less than 1 acre. So that's predominantly in east, but it could also affect cluster subdivisions in the west, where again the houses are close together and the proximity is of concern.
When you say proposing an amendment, what do you mean?
We will be doing a draft amendment. We will be proposing an amendment to Amendment 70 to clarify that the language on accessory uses and outdoor accessory storage pertains to residential lots or parcels 1 acre or less than 1 acre.
And you can see the start of this on page 6 of Amendment 70, where it talks about page 347. This would be an expansion.
No, sorry.
This is Amendment to Amendment 70?
Correct.
Yes.
70, page 6.
We have the amendment to the amendment?
Not yet.
Go ahead.
We have a draft.
Well,
I mean, again, it basically it inserts where it, currently it talks about residentially zoned lots. Well, pretty much anything in the west is residentially zoned, and much of the east is residentially zoned. So we realized it should be more specific, and we're saying residential lots are parcels less than 1 acre. So it will allow us to do enforcement where necessary to help tidy up lots in the east.
That's an easy fix.
Yeah.
Great. So we're good on that.
Does my amendment on the definition of residential lot or parcel impact this?
We believe it did because I thought it had language about developed or could be or future development, and we were just concerned about the language about the future part.
The definition is a parcel with a house or.
I think it says right now it's developed with a house so that the residence is the principal use. And we did that to differentiate something that would have farming as the principal use.
Okay. Do you need me to withdraw the definition amendment?
I think that the concern was you get into this debate about
it. Just yes or no?
Yes, please.
Okay. What number is that?
What is that one? 80? So number 80 is going to come out?
I just want to verify. All right, and then...
Are you saying yes, that's coming out?
Yes. Okay, I'll withdraw that if it helps to solve the problem of the conflict. And then my next question would be, on the hoarding, I had an amendment in that had two areas. Is that okay?
I think it is. Yeah. I'm just not sure how you're... defining those areas,
But it isn't specifically defined. There was an earlier version, I thought, that there had been in terms of the idea that it would be a detached, possibly accessory garage and a detached accessory shed. And I think that was my memory of where 2 came from. And so you were really talking about it more as structures as opposed to what we often call piles of things.
Right. Because it started out with the neighbors recommending convex area with a mathematic formula, blah, blah, blah. And now and you guys wanted to simplify that, so we were trying to limit it to 2 buildings or even 2 areas. That's what we were trying to do.
But I didn't see the amendment that would deal with the 2 structures.
Well, it doesn't because it says 2 areas.
Yeah, it was
110. Okay. The question is, does this need to change or is it okay?
That language already opened up. What does it say in terms of location? I mean, we talk more about it having to be, you know, in the rear and screened as opposed to total area.
I believe she was putting it here. Right. The cumulative size and intensity of accessory uses, including outdoor areas, may not total more than 2 areas and, I guess, be located. I'm not quite sure how it would work with the new language. We may have to modify it a little bit.
The current language basically currently there's just a square foot area. It's a maximum of 200 square feet or 10% of the floor area. And again, we say it has to be confined to the rear yard and has to be screened. What we have said in the past, it isn't maybe articulated there, that if they made it instead of 2 piles, they made 4 piles, we would essentially draw a little line around it and consider all one thing. And so this, I'm not sure that we care whether it's in 2 piles or 3 piles, but we will look at it in terms of that 10% or 200 square feet.
Does this need to change or is it okay? I'd like it to be okay.
It's okay. I think we could live with it. It just will provide more guidance to people in terms of getting their stuff compacted.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Next on the agenda.
Want to stay on farming?
Well, what's next on the agenda? That's a good question.
I have next
Siggity
95, 96, 113.
Is that Amendment 95?
It was, I believe, our chickens.
95 and 96, their administrative.
Well, 113 is chickens.
Ratio of residential to commercial.
And 113 is chickens.
What number started yesterday?
Well, I got 95 and 96 up.
What was the first one? 95
and 96, I did as a favor.
Yeah, 96 actually
okay.
Is sponsored by.
Yeah, yes. So 95 and 96, she was reviewing them.
Basically because of the concept that we were talking about, I want to verify that we caught everything the way we were saying.
Are you supposed to do both
of these?
Are
these repeating amendments?
One seems redundant. This is the question.
Almost, it looks like, but not quite.
Right.
Correct. And I thought we had discussed that, and they were going to do it. I can't remember exactly what happened on that. But then that's when we realized my other part wasn't picked up.
Right.
So they took what they had already written.
The difference between 2 amendments?
Lines 34 through
30. That's doing the stuff in the initial review. What Mary Kay.
So 96 has more than 95.
So both 95 and 96 have the following. It's Mary Kay. Not having one, having the ratio be one apartment or dwelling.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
So that first part of both of them addresses that issue and makes the 1-to-1 ratio square footage.
Okay, and then what do you do? What are you doing in the bottom, plan service?
They had put in plan service area at greater than, I think, 5 acres or something.
In the B1 and B2, yeah.
In B1 bar. Could be 2-to-1. And 5 acres.
So yours has a little bit more Does the administration have a problem with Greg's? Are you willing to just withdraw your 95?
Well, isn't there, what I want to understand, is it different? It's because at the bottom it says in the plan service area. Do we have different standards for the plan service area?
They did.
You made them the same. So they don't differ.
That's what you're striking.
So you all don't have a problem with his length?
I thought the issue is about plan service.
Right. Yeah, I want to make sure that I understand whether it's treating things the same.
Yeah.
This would be strong.
I don't think it is.
Is plan service area and non-plan service area being treated the same?
In his amendment.
But what was the administration doing?
The piece that's being deleted. No, I know. Okay. That would only apply, as I understand it, to the POR B1 and B2. So it would allow, there's really not much, maybe any POR outside the plan service area, a little bit, and then B1 and B2. So it would allow it to go into B1 and B2 locations.
I didn't stop that.
No, you're actually...
But this is what he's eliminating here.
Yeah, but that's all this stuff up here, right?
No,
that goes in the individual sections. This is where he would be taking this out and deleting this. And the difference
is... Oh, it's 15 and 31. I missed the 15 to 31.
The difference in the conditional use is that the one that was in the planned water sewer service, say you're in B1, you could be between 5 and 15 acres. This one that was proposed would allow that to go down to about 1 acre.
Outside.
Yes, but it would be down, but it was outside. So it was 1 to 5, and the other was 5 to 15. So it split them. Not really clear on why you had split them. And so
I think the intent of that whole B was to allow it in the west, but only on small B1 properties, where particularly like in Daisy, since this was Ted Mariani's proposal, was that if he's got a piece of land that nobody really wants to be B1, and they could convert it, as you know, he preferred the multiplex, but if that isn't going to survive, then I think he would probably still continue to say, you know, a small amount of commercial on the first floor and apartment above would be preferable than 100% commercial.
I guess if it's conditions, I'm willing to withdraw mine.
Okay. 96 coming out.
Wait a minute.
That was the opposite of where I thought we were going to
It was just the opposite 5 minutes ago.
I still am not super happy with it.
It's okay. Let's move on. 96
let's,
is out.
Wait a minute. 1 minute ago, we weren't going to move on. Now we're...
I guess here's a question.
Take it.
Are you, is everyone comfortable removing the multiplexes from the B1 and the B2? If they are, I'm not as
concerned, you know, about this of having that as an option, as well as, you know, the other stuff on assisted living being an option.
What about taking out the multiplex?
All right, so there is a multiplex amendment. Mr. Fox is proposing taking out the multiplex to where you would simply build a
residential infrastructure amendment. Well, it's all in the same topic. Same topic.
Okay.
Remember which it was, Theo? It was an early one, wasn't it?
Oh, it's here. I read it. I can't remember where I read it, though. I've read them so many times.
I'm just looking in the summaries.
Is it part of the BRX?
Mm-mm. where I saw it, too, physically saw it. But they're all the ones that have my names on.
We have the one about nursing homes and residential care.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it. So. All right, we'll come back to it. Don't you remember?
Yeah, let me check.
What are we moving on to? In the meantime, I'm not sure. Are we still talking about the same issue, or we're waiting to find out about multiplexes?
My concern in general, those, especially at the crossroads, is making sure that it's going to be providing a service and not just be residential. If there's some residential with it, if there's some residential, you know, that's with it or over it type of thing, and you've already gotten what commercial you're going to get there.
Yeah. It's not supplanting.
It's not supplanting it, then. I'm okay. You know, since it's a conditional use and not a by right, I think I can
you're
live.
You're talking about 95 now, right?
Yeah, 95, 96.
And the only reason I'm saying get rid of 96 if he's willing to do it is because the administration has put 95 in their regulations.
So okay. I can live with it.
So are you going to withdraw 96?
I'll withdraw 96. I appreciate your consideration, Dr. Ball. I'm going to be easy on this one. I'm not excited. It's just not,
actually,
I'm not strong enough about it.
So. No, I appreciate that.
Mr. Fox, I'm going to say that I think that that's a wise move because I think it's important. I think that there has been a case made for the need for, or a perceived need, and we'll find out if there's really a need for rental housing in places other than the East. So, and this will offer that as an opportunity. And the conditional use will be such that if the septic allows it to happen, you know. But we'll end up with the feel of an older community because it'll all be above the first floor retail or commercial.
So
thanks.
All right, what's next?
I've got a late file on Lou and Joe's.
Okay, but I think, did we finish?
Oh, 113, sorry. I didn't see.
I put on 113 because that's the one about setbacks for chickens.
And you have a related one?
No, I don't.
America does.
I said I don't.
It was at 113?
Mm-hmm. 113. I have 112.
So 113, I was talking earlier with various people trying to find Jen, trying to find a balance between allowing chicken keeping but not impacting neighbors. Jen, you had in here 50 feet from a lot line, and in talking with chicken keepers and looking at the regulations the way we have them in other places, I'm wondering if you feel comfortable having the feet from a dwelling, an occupied dwelling, like a neighbor's house, and changing it from 50 feet, 75 feet from another dwelling, as opposed to 50 feet from a lot.
Okay. So if it's 75 feet from the, is that making it more restrictive or less restrictive, though?
It's keeping them 75 feet from a neighbor's house.
Right. What if it's an undeveloped lot? I mean, this isn't like out in the West necessarily. If we're talking about like an R12, for example.
It won't work in R12.
It won't work in R12?
The houses aren't that far apart.
So 75 feet from a neighbor's dwelling makes the fact that we're saying chicken keeping can happen in an R12, but then we are precluding it by
Marcia,
the setback, right?
Can you back up what you just said?
Yeah, I can.
Let me see if I can find the minimum lot width for an R20 lot here.
R12.
All right, let's go to R12.
And just for a second, let's talk average, not minimum.
Typically, we develop a lot of elderly.
Good point.
Okay. lot width for the building envelope is 60 feet. Okay, so the whole yard is 60 feet. And the side yard setbacks. Typically, the houses are going to be 20 feet apart. They might be 30 feet apart, but they're not going to be.
Setback is 10 feet?
10 feet on either side yard. So if you got two of them next to each other, there would be minimally 20, but they might be a little bit
more. So how do you defend your statement that 75 feet won't work?
If the lot is only 60 feet wide and it's 10 feet to the next house, then the compost or the chicken coop has to be on the next lot over. It can't even be on their lot.
It can't be. What's the depth of the lot?
It could be deeper. There's no minimum. There's no requirement for depth.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's all you're saying is for certain the chicken coop couldn't be in the side yard of the house next to you. That's all you're saying.
If it's in the backyard and the two houses are like the same distance from the road, so they're lined up, you could have it in the backyard here, and you're right, you could be, if, as long as you don't count anything in the neighbor's backyard as being a problem, so their patio or their deck doesn't. Yes, you could probably make it work in some sort.
And if you had a 60-foot wide minimum lot, what's the minimum lot size then in the R12?
They can cluster and they can go down to, what is it, 8,400 square feet. But they wouldn't be allowed to keep chickens. They have to be at least 10,000 to keep chickens.
Right. Okay.
How small did you say they can be?
10,000 is the minimum. The lots can go down to 8,400.
Okay. So what about R20?
R20...
Does 75 feet work in most cases in R20?
The lots are going to be wider in R20 than in R12. Well, it's 60 feet. It's still 60 feet. Now, they may be wider than that because the houses tend to be.
That's the minimum. So let's go back to R12. If the minimum is 60 feet wide and we'll say an average, even if I took an average of 12,000 square feet, right?
Yeah.
That seem like that's a reasonable lot size for an R12 because then they'd have to be open space combined. Is that big for an R12?
Well, R12, no one's ever going to do more than,
all you can do is three.
If they're subdivided, they're going to normally shoot for 12, but a lot of times, depending on the environmental features, they'll do more open space and then they do the clustering down to something less.
Do we allow chickens in R12 now?
Anything right now, anything that is residentially owned or for your family. Essentially, there's no restrictions on numbers or roosters or anything if it's for your family. Okay.
What is the 200 feet for? Is that only if it's not used for?
That's the animal shelters.
So if you had a chicken coop, or that doesn't count? I mean, it seems to me that that's what we're talking about here. So we're going from 200.
Well, part of the problem is down the regulations. This is why we got into this, is that right now there's, for as long as I've been here, there's this 200 setback from an existing house on an adjoining property. And they don't make a distinction between whether it's a horse barn with 15 horses, which is a significant amount of manure and et cetera, as opposed to a rabbit hutch that has four rabbits. So we're sort of not worrying about the rabbit shelters, pet shelters. Those don't count. We were trying to make it, a rule for chickens.
Okay.
So currently the 200-foot rule, I think, would apply because it doesn't make any.
Okay,
so right now
it's 200.
So right now, if someone didn't like the chickens in the yard next to them, they could come in and say that chicken coop is within 200 yards,
yep.
And it's a zoning violation.
Yes.
So to say that it is allowed now is not correct.
To say that
yards?
Chicken coop is allowed.
You mean 200 feet, not yards?
Say that the chicken coop.
You're right. You're correct.
It is not allowed now.
You're correct.
And I want to make sure that people understand that.
Okay. Right, because we're being accused of taking what's allowed now. And in my amendment, removing that ability.
But essentially, there's a conflict between the regulations right now that say you can keep chickens for your own family's use, but unless you have a very, very, very large lot, it's not viable.
Okay, well, I think that needs to be well understood.
So
right now, if we have chickens in Font Hill and those coops are within 200 feet of a structure, they're not allowed.
Yes, you could say that, yes.
Right. And when you've had complaints about zoning violations, have you said that? Are you UDPZ, or have you said chickens are allowed?
I know we had said that with peacocks, so I imagine we would say the same thing.
We haven't had enforcement on chickens until ever recently about Fawn Hill.
Under that scenario, basically people have been keeping chickens, just haven't been following the rules because they don't know the rules. And if people don't complain, you would never know about it. But to say that chickens are allowed, there's some truth to it as long as nobody complains. But according to the law, the chicken coops can't be 200 feet from somebody's house.
Right.
And so to reduce it to 75 feet, do you think that's more restrictive?
It is more restrictive.
Right. And then it's less restrictive.
Less restrictive.
It's less, you're right. It is it's more permissive.
Fine.
Right.
Thank you.
I still would like to be able to get the language about how many, what size lots are allowed for chickens to be related to the setback. If we want to have a 75-foot setback, then I'm not sure that the 10,000 square lot size works very well.
Does it work with a 200-foot setback?
No, not at all.
Okay. Have you changed the language to make it work?
I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't realize we were going to have a discussion about setbacks of 75 feet. If that's where we want to go, then we may want to reconsider the size of the lot that can have chickens.
I think what Ms. Watson asked is have you changed the language to make it work? And indeed, in the residential chicken keeping, the language was changed to make it work so that a coop had to be, there was a minimum 15-foot setback. So the whole thing was created to make it work.
There's also language that talks about making a difference between animal shelters that are 500 square feet or less being only a 100-foot setback as opposed to ones that are 500 square feet or more being 200.
Is that in the amendment now?
It's in the language that's been proposed.
100 feet. So the language you're proposing is saying the chicken coop can be 100 feet.
Wait, where are you?
No, there would be separate language about the chicken coop.
There would be, or there is?
There is.
There is.
There
is that says 15, right?
It's currently proposed.
Currently proposed as 15.
No, I'm talking about the structure.
Well, isn't that what it is?
Mm-hmm. You're saying 15-foot setback, right?
For the coop.
From the property line.
Where does it say 15?
Okay, what page are you on?
We're on page 356. 9D.
Oh, D. You're right. I'm getting my chickens and my other animals confused.
Sorry, you're allowed.
It's the home stretch. We're
say it again. What page?
356, line 21.
Right, that's where the 15 feet
mm-hmm.
that we're discussing comes in.
Right.
What Marsh is talking about, the animal shelters, would be for other types of animals.
Right. So just to clarify, formally, if we didn't do anything to this, the coop would have to be 200 feet away. You're recommending it now be 15 feet from all lot lines. Allow 15 feet from lot lines. Okay. So you are trying to make chicken keeping more. You're doing it in all residential zones, essentially, a single family.
No, it's not.
No.
Well,
R12,
basically anywhere that has lots that are 10,000 square feet or more, right?
In residential districts where chicken keeping is enumerated as an accessory use.
Right.
Which is R12, RED, R20, what else? Anything else?
It's RSC and
RC and RR.
Okay. So.
Did you say RSC? RSC?
A dwelling down to 15 feet.
It's not in RSC.
Okay, sorry, Courtney, go ahead.
Sorry. So now that I understand where we were and where you want us to go, if you pass this, you are then allowing chicken keeping 15 feet from side yard, but is that in all of those districts, or does it change based on the district?
No, it's the same distance in all of those districts. The limit is 8 chickens.
Okay. I think going from 200 feet away from your house to 15 feet from your side yard is a pretty big change. Doing something in the middle makes more sense as we start to allow residential chicken keeping. Really haven't allowed up until this point, according to the zoning regulations.
In smaller lots.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's important to note in the chicken keeping that we are also not allowing chickens to be kept inside yards. They have to be kept in the rear yards.
Good.
So, and so then you have your setbacks.
But is a rear yard, can be somebody else's front yard?
Right.
Be clear.
That's right.
More likely to be their rear yard, but it could be.
Well, we have flag lots.
That's true, too.
So that's why I guess I don't see 75 feet as a, I see it as a lot less restrictive than we have now, but not as restrictive or permissible as you would like to go. I've had a number of emails from the Fon Hill neighborhood in the last few days who've learned about the chicken suggestions.
Sorry about that.
I think one of the things that's difficult about this is because things are changing and there is a lot more interest. We didn't used to have much in the way of about chicken keeping, and that's picking up now.
Okay.
And what tends to
picking up in terms of requests or picking up in terms of complaints?
I think inquiries more than complaints.
But both, I guess.
Well, again, I may be wrong because I don't hear all the complaints all the time, but it's really Fon Hill has just started talking about chickens. I haven't heard about chicken complaints.
They usually complain to us, but
yeah,
as
they come to us for a few.
So. I mean, I remember more complaints about ducks and about peacocks because they're very noisy. We pick chickens because they're not as noisy.
Do our current regulations that would govern chickens require a chicken coop?
There is nothing that requires a chicken coop. My understanding is, and I am not a chicken expert, is that they like to nest someplace and that it may not be fixed. I mean, these mobile coops are what seems to be popular, and frankly...
But is it safe to say that anybody who currently has chickens has a place to put them? A barn, a house, I mean, not a house, a coop. Because otherwise the foxes would eat them, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Otherwise, they would go onto your neighbor's garden.
So it's not accurate to say that we now allow chickens in these districts. Chicken coop is 200 feet away.
I think that's probably true. And if somebody had asked us and we'd had to deal with enforcement, we would have ended up having them also arguing, I'm keeping it for my family. So we're just trying to make sure that the direction of the regulations is going in the same direction as opposed to...
Wait a minute. If you're keeping it from your family... Keeping it for your family.
The 200
doesn't apply?
No, I'm saying is that if it says it's for your family, it implies that it's a customary and normal accessory use that you would want to have chickens for your family, except that, and we're allowing it in districts where the lots are not big enough to meet the structure setback, it's a problem in terms of trying to implement the...
But you're taking permission out the language about the family.
We're trying to make it more specific. It could be a family in an apartment.
Our regulations right now were so vague. It only said you were permitted to do farming, provided that on a lot of less than 40,000 square feet you had no fowl other than for the consumption of the family. That was the closest we came to talking about chickens in the entire regulations. Because this seems to be a trend, and we get a lot of questions about it, that was the catalyst to putting something chicken-specific in.
How would we, in the same situation, treat a goat?
The goat is not treated like chickens. Chicken sheltering is different.
Okay.
So then we're back to the currently it's 200 feet and is proposed to be.
How about
100.
A peacock?
Peacocks are not currently authorized.
How about a goose?
You're going to become Noah's Ark.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. If you have a farm, you can use any manner of animals, but that's 3 acres or more.
I'm talking about what we're talking
this,
about.
We're only saying it's chickens, no other fowl.
So currently you couldn't. What you're proposing only applies to chickens.
Only applies to chickens. It doesn't even hens, no roosters.
So we have to just make a decision about this. But I do think it makes sense probably. Wouldn't it be more permissive to have the distance away from the, or more relevant to have the distance away from the neighbor's house as opposed to away from the neighbor's lawn? I would think that's the case.
Come up with something that would work from a reasonable perspective. I think that what you want, this is really about managing the interface between what people think of as a suburban yard, or you know, and the rights of suburbia, which is you don't have to be anywhere near farms, and continuing our belief in Howard County that farming is basically an essential right. That's the managing of those, and that's, I think, what we're coming up against.
Can I just ask about the number of chickens? In the new regulations, you're saying 8? They're not listening. So are they saying 8?
Yes.
Okay. So is it, but in the previous regulations, it was enough to feed your family, isn't it?
Correct.
I guess I'm wondering, does it make sense to make fewer hens in R12, for example? If we're, as a trade-off for the distance, 8 hens make more noise than 4, or smell more than 4, or whatever.
Well, Kathy keeps them. Let's ask her.
Yeah.
Can you come up to the a microphone? Dr. Ball, can Ms. Hudson sit next to you? And,
of course. Okay. I'd be honored to have you.
Sorry, there's so many sayings. I would be willing to say less chickens on less than an acre as long as you were willing to have more chickens on more than an acre. Okay, currently there's no upper limit if you're between 1 acre plus. This spring I had 61 chickens, 50 of them are now in freezers, but for 6 weeks I had on my 1 acre a few chickens for 6 weeks.
You had 60 chickens?
Yes, ma'am.
On 1 acre?
On 1 acre for 6 weeks. I mean, these are babies, okay? But I'm in R.E.D.
Be careful.
I mean, I try to stay to the letter of the law.
Yeah, and all your friends are now listening online.
And they have chickens in their freezers. I'll never tell.
Chicken dinner.
I say that only to say that there's a variety. I think 3 to 4 chickens is what I would say would be the minimum to have because they're social creatures, and if one dies, you still want to have at least another friend around for them to hang out with.
4 chickens on less than an acre.
I 4 to 6, I could be, you know.
I think you said 3 to 4. But
for a family.
I back to 3 to 4.
4. Four would be. Yeah. Only if more than 1 acre we can have it.
Wow.
Say for less than an acre, no, 4 chickens and no roosters.
Well, we're not allowing roosters.
Well, I know, but right now I can have.
Couple.
Yeah, right now I have a rooster. My neighbors, we have 4 roosters in my neighborhood. We're all happy with, we want our roosters.
Is your chicken coop 200 feet away from another house? So this is the point I'm making, though. We've been told repeatedly that this is allowed now. And I just want to make a point that it is not allowed now.
I know. Why do you think I'm here? Is there a lot of people who have coops that are not,
okay,
they're not here testifying because they don't want you to know about them?
Okay, but it's not accurate to say we allow this now. It is not accurate to say that. And that has been said repeatedly in these work sessions. Not by you, but I'm just saying we need to make sure that that point is well understood. We're not decreasing what's allowed. We're increasing what's allowed. Whatever we do here.
Well, it depends on what you're increasing, decreasing. From your standpoint, I hear exactly what you're saying, though, Courtney.
Okay.
So, from the two.
I appreciate your input. I really do.
Yeah. And by the way, all of my rest of my neighbors are absolutely legal.
As are you.
You're a
careful what you wish for is what this is about.
It's what my email to you said today.
They also need to be registered, right?
What?
They also need to be registered?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure they're all registered.
State law.
That's a law.
Okay. Depending on what you want to do with your chickens, there's multiple registrations.
How many feet in how many square feet in an acre? 43,560.
Can we, are we moving on? We're finishing
this
up. I mean,
may I raise one other issue?
Sure.
On the two different amendments that deal with this, 112 and 113, I mean, you could keep it that the chicken coop has to be X amount of feet from the property line or a certain distance from an existing home, whichever is greater. Something
that's what I was thinking.
Come up with a hybrid.
It's both, whichever's right. The 15 would apply and some distance from a house.
And that way you'd be covered with at least the 15-foot minimum should the lot next door not yet be developed.
I appreciate that. That is actually the direction I was heading. Good.
So, Ms. Terrazzo, are you going to continue
I'm happy to talk to, I mean, I think I need guidance from my colleagues, but we can certainly continue that discussion. We only have so much time now and so many issues.
I don't think we need to continue discussing, but I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost.
I've already asked for something to be drafted just so that we can have that in motion, and if we want to change numbers.
Perfect. Thank you.
We can do that.
And just so we're all, everybody understands why I actually changed the description of chicken coop from detached accessory building to hen house slash chicken coop, because the movement in residential chicken keeping is to actually have a coop that's on wheels. So what was there said it had to be a detached accessory building, which means it's a stationary building.
I guess for our staff, any amendment that I were to put into this needs to make sure it doesn't somehow contradict that piece of it, because I'm not trying to interfere with the
112 and 113 have to have some kind of synergy.
Yes.
Can I just ask one quick? The last thing on the bottom of 112, which is the light registering with the state.
Yes.
We're not used to enforcing state laws. I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
No, you don't need. My intent is not that you need to do that. It's simply that
more educational.
Yes. So that people understand that they have to be registered with the state of Maryland.
That's a good.
And this particular registration is not a voluntary one. There's lots of voluntary registrations. This one actually is a mandatory one.
All right. Next on our list is late file amendments. Is that where you'd like to go now?
Well, when I say the late file, I meant more the late file maps, since I've got one that is a map, not a text.
Okay.
That's the only reason. I just wanted to call it out.
Okay. Did you want to talk about it or not?
It's up to you guys. It's Lou and Joe's.
Oh, yeah. We discussed this a lot.
Yeah. It just in the...
It slipped through the cracks.
So 601 is to...
Is to have it be one.
Wait, which one? That's
Lou and Joe's. Joe's.
I thought you put that in.
And that is a late. So that's a late file. So okay. No, it is now. So to clarify, that would not be a legal. That's not a legally substantive amendment, but it would require four of us to vote because it's a late file.
Correct.
Okay.
What number?
I don't have a problem with that.
152. I'm fine with that. Thanks for catching.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
And
I just wanted to alert everybody that
okay.
I missed it.
All right. So then we're on.
Because Friday, I would have been very disappointed had.
And Dr. Talbot, whatever we wind up drafting, we should also get to the Department of Planning and Zoning. We'll send them so they're taking a look. Whoever's drafting that amendment. I've asked for amendment to the chickens. I'm back to that for a second. I just want to make sure that we're sharing that quickly, certainly with DPZ.
And the only other. The other two, not necessarily late file, they weren't late files, but just as since they relate to maps, I just want to call out things that I was doing that are related to maps, even if we had discussed them, just out of fairness. If you guys don't want to discuss them, that's fine. The first is the 1505, which is Amendment 132, and that's the RSI, and that's down there near the fairgrounds. We've talked a lot about the need for senior type of projects. I think the concern here was not knowing what was going on with that intersection. Regardless of what they plan to do, because we're not to take that into consideration, it's definitely not a residential property. As far as being able to do any more based off of what's happening there with the road, where it's adjacent to, it's in between all commercial. And it's adjacent to 32. There's just no way it makes sense to keep it there. They won't be able to do anything beyond what's going to be there as far as approvals as it relates to plans for that road. And as far as the intersection, that type of thing isn't, that intersection isn't a problem intersection the way Livestock Road is.
Which?
132?
Yeah.
I think did I get the right amount?
Cross from West Friendship.
I believe that's what you mean.
Did I get the right?
He said Amendment 132. Amendment 132.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
You got it right.
It's.
Oh. I just want to make sure everybody looking at me. I may have missed it, which is possible.
We're talking about a map.
I got a high voice over there out of nowhere. So.
No. It's that the map number is 15.005, but the amendment number is 132.
That was what was originally requested. It's very limited in what can be done there.
They requested RSI.
Correct.
And this is the one that's off of Route 32 that the Route 32 people came out against?
No, that's the Livestock Road one. Those are the three Livestock Road ones. That's the tough intersection.
What's in that number again?
15005.
Unsupported.
Yes.
So
unsupported.
Does DPZ have a position on this amendment now?
My position anyway is still the same. I think it's a concern because we don't know what the design of that intersection improvement by SHA is. It needs to be improved. It's maybe not as bad as livestock, but there's certainly problems in that whole area. And the idea of rezoning it to encourage it to develop until we know what's going to happen there doesn't seem reasonable.
Is this the one the farm owner came out on?
There was a couple.
Mrs. Moxley spoke about it, but she was worried about wandering
seniors. Farm that's right next to them.
They're concerned that the alignment could get moved. That was their concern. And I have not been able to determine anything based off of what I've seen that would demonstrate that there's a true chance of that alignment changing from all the money they've spent designing it at this point.
And what's the downside of keeping it on site?
Because you're not going to put a house there. So you basically have frozen the property. They have preliminary plans there. They don't need the entire site. They don't need to build where the plans are for the road are going. So, and I can't remember who's one of you two the attorney? Can Mr. Erskine? Didn't remember which one, sorry.
I would say yes, but briefly, because we've got a lot of issues to get through. So
just real quick on the road. That's all I want. I don't really care what they're doing, because that's irrelevant to our decision.
You need more microphones.
So if you know anything about the road.
Yeah, from all the research that I've done through not only this project, but also the Livestock Road project, the design in the areas to be acquired has been determined. There is not, as you know, funding for it, so there hasn't been an acquisition. But when we did our preliminary site design for this dementia center, this Alzheimer's center, we took into consideration the alignment that State Highway had indicated was their preferred plan. So we're anticipating that a taking will take place, and we've allowed for that.
Yeah, and I would assume, based off of that, both SHA and the administration, is there any, whatever the plans are, you know, under RSI that would be developed, would have oversight on the approvals of those plans to ensure that, correct, Ms. McLaughlin?
Yeah, they will be able to comment on it.
Right, and so, I mean, if you guys are really thinking things are going to move, I'm assuming you'll be able to make changes, do things that would end up, you know, whatever, to make sure that you're going to be comfortable. But I guess, Mr. Boffin, do you feel that, you know, it really makes sense to keep this residential?
Well, there's a lot of conditional uses. There's certainly farming activities. I don't know. I guess I also personally feel like building lots of large senior housing, I can understand the group homes, and I can understand by conditional use, but the large nursing facilities like Lorien doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the firehouse is just up the street.
Which station is that?
It just means that they spend all of their time taking them to the hospital.
West Friendship.
It's like mile away.
I have to say that I spoke with the fire department about that issue, and they did not express to me that it was a concern.
That was as it related to the general assisted living facilities around, spread out, not just that site. In this case, this site's even more convenient.
Well, I did ask about the west, because I know that...
Yeah, the west in general.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. You were talking... My point is...
I was talking to him about both.
But
yeah.
Because they weren't worried about the more spread out ones. This one's sitting right there by the fire station.
They didn't express a strong... that it should be prohibited.
I could just comment on that one. If you remember Gloria Brock, who was the operator of the site, this is a dementia center, and what she had to say was it's kind of different than a typical nursing home or assisted living, that it's not that they are infirm physically. I mean, they can be the term walkie-talkie. They're walkie-talkies. I mean, sometimes they need to be, you know, they're healthy.
Is that the official medical term?
Yes, walkie-talkie. So I don't know that it's a revolving door of ambulances to and from the hospital. You know, well, if you remember, one of the neighbors talked about hurting one of the neighbors.
You might
want to go over
it.
We have a lot of issues
right
to get to
right.
today, so let's keep going.
Yeah, I just really was asking. I wasn't as concerned about the specific abuse as I was the road and what can be done and so on and so forth, because I think that was the bigger issue as it related to Ms. McLaughlin. So that was all I wanted. So I don't have anything.
Thank you.
So that's why. That's
okay,
yeah,
thank you.
In general, that zone allows for various things, whether it's what they're saying or something else. And there's not much else you can really do with that property. That's not a lot adding. Based off of what else is there as a percentage of what goes on around there at that particular intersection, it's not a change or a different flow or something, which is the concern of livestock. And with that, you know, I'll talk to you guys offline on that one, but I may either withdraw or whatever on that particular one. I think the concerns over Route 32, even though that's a small parcel, as a percentage that, you know, potentially just consider it something that they come back in as a change if they do fix things, or they come back in as a BR, not gas station BR, mm-hmm. With a plan on how things would be addressed.
Madam Chair, at some point today, could we also maybe, if members know or the administration knows amendments they're planning on withdrawing or not moving?
To the extent that folks are prepared to go through them that way, then
I thought I'd withdrawn and wasn't in there. So
okay, I'm happy to do that. But do you want to keep going? There's 1401 and 1402.
That's what he was just talking about.
Oh, I thought that was 1501. Oh.
Yeah, that was the livestock road that he said he wanted to talk with us offline.
Okay. Sorry. All right. They talked to you about it. The next thing I have on here is Maple Lawn. Are there questions, folks?
Maple Lawn.
Is that amendments 1, 2, and 3?
We have a lot of
amendments.
Well,
there's a lot of Maple Lawn. What I was trying to do and I didn't finish was just trying to grab every amendment number associated with the topic to try to make it easier. The bigger one is the amendment, Ms. Taras's amendment, 51.
51?
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, and 51.
So 51 and 3 are probably the two. What we talked about the other day, and I have not printed it out, but I've drafted some language to sort of address my thought. And I know we don't have Paul here, right?
He's on call. So, Paul, if you're listening, we probably...
Is he physically...
We can call him.
I can wait on this one. Why don't we come back? Because that was where he wanted to make sure the language was good. So whenever he gets down here, we can come back.
So should we move on to the next?
Yeah.
Funeral homes?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys had a chance. I know I sent it right before we walked in here, but glance at the email I sent.
Yeah, I read the email.
This issue
is an email that we should have. I can look at my.
It doesn't matter.
Go ahead, just talk. Okay.
Look, it's just this issue is a little bit different than a lot of the other ones. I think everybody's been working, pretty well together and understanding of each other's districts. I guess in this particular case, Mary Kay and I are not sitting there saying, if you feel certain other things are happening, we're not looking for you to defer. This is not a project that, either of us are all that excited about. But the reason that we haven't...
Huh? We're on the funeral home.
That our concern, not finding anything on the health, side of it that we could determine. We have Mr. Nixon in. We asked him questions. We asked about some of the process stuff. Related to things, couldn't find anything. We do agree with the planning board and Marsh's and the Department of Planning and Zoning's recommendations about what needs to happen there. But our concern is more related to the bigger issue of business predictability and the legal process. And so if other members are, if they're not concerned about that, we're saying if we're not looking for anybody to protect
the funeral home being there.
You're not concerned about predictability or legal process?
Huh?
I think we're all concerned about that.
Well, and that, well, and that's the question. So, right. But I guess the question is, I that's what I would figure too.
Right.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying if somebody, for whatever reason, did not share that concern and they were worried that they were stepping on our toes, that
step away.
You can you feel free, and you know, we have our steel toed shoes on and no. And
speak for yourself.
But that, you know, to feel free to submit something, and you know, we would support it coming in as a late file. Not saying which way we vote, but support it coming in as a late file to be voted on if somebody was interested in doing so. And the only other part to that, just to say it out there, because I don't know if everybody else knows, and might as well, you know, say it out there as an email if somebody wants to get them, is that you know, we have made it clear to you know, to the attorney for the property owner, Mr. O, that, you know, once the legal process is through, that we will, if the DPZ does not, we will go ahead and file what was there, which potentially would make them a non-conforming use pretty quickly before they may even get built. So, and then also made them aware, made sure that they were communicating with the community as it related to the desire of the community or certain members of the community to purchase the property. Did I miss anything, Ms. Sigany?
No, you did a nice job on summary. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I had one question about the email, and I read it quickly. So, mm-hmm. But did the email say that you and Ms. Sigany did not support the project at that location?
We are not ever supportive of that project at that location.
So you don't support it?
No. But that's not the issue.
That's not the issue.
I understand, but it was in the email.
We've had significant questions with it from the beginning.
From the very beginning.
The email reminded you all that, you know, we had done the parking issue because it was something we could do. We had been asked at that same time to do another ZRA, which we said no because it was all in process. We have questions about it.
We're
I think that's legitimate to say, but at the same time, it's in process, and I think that for again,
it didn't come before us. Decision on whether it should go there or not. It came before us, and it went before a different body on that question.
Right, exactly. It went before a different body, and it went before a body that we are responsible for. They're part of the council, and
so in other
at
words,
least from
right.
my right, and at least from my perspective. It is, I think, well, my position on this is that it's responsible of me to honor and respect that process.
Okay.
Because if we start tearing it apart.
So from your perspective, this is about the process, everything they've been through, mm-hmm. but you're not supportive of the project relative to your districts. That's what the email says. I just want to make sure I understand that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we are not. We have.
And I just want to make sure that if, because your name is on it, I just want to make sure I understand.
No, I had her look over my shoulder after I wrote it just to make sure.
So you're respecting the process, but you don't support the project in that, in your district.
It's very difficult. We recognize that there were issues to begin with, but there are also other things at work. That's where we found ourselves.
I mean, we did a lot of research both on the health and safety side and the process side. And, you know, I received the email. I don't know if everybody else received it. I didn't look to see who he copied it, Mr. Nixon, with the other parcels that they used a 45-degree rule on. If he didn't, I'll forward it, you know, or Karen or I will forward it to everybody. But he as promised, provided that list of properties. And it's been used at least three other times that they were able to quickly find. So, I mean, that was one of the things, because that was not in the rules and regs, but it was common practice. It wasn't just used on that particular site, that type of thing. I mean, we looked, we were looking. It wasn't that we weren't looking.
Okay. So are there other questions on that?
No,
or should we go to Mr. Johnson on Maple Lawn?
I will say that I think the two of you have very carefully. One of the reasons, you know, we defer is because we all have issues within our district and we can't be an expert on everything. And I do think that the two of you have very carefully reviewed all of the testimony and the evidence, and you've met with the neighbors and you've met with the business owners, and you've looked at it from all angles, including the process. So from that perspective, I personally feel like it's appropriate for me to defer to you. If I felt strongly differently, obviously we all would, you know, we might do something differently. But I think you've done a good job on your analysis. And I think you certainly put a lot of time into it.
Right. But I guess my only thing is, as far as in deferring to us, is based off of our feeling on the project itself, if there were others who felt who, in knowing
that we are not necessarily happy about it, and we're not necessarily as concerned regarding the legal process or business predictability concerns, that put it out there, we'll support it coming on there, and then we can figure out if we vote on it or not.
That might be silly.
All right, so let's go back to Maple Lawn. We've got Mr. Johnson here. What was the question that prompted us to
ask
Mr. Johnson to come on down?
Maple Lawn. So this was sort of a companion amendment.
Which one?
To
this, is Maple Lawn.
This would be an amendment to Amendment 3.
Amendment 1, 2, 3, and 51.
Based off of input from the community and Ms. and Chairwoman Ferras's Amendment 51. So under Amendment 51, which recommends changing to RED with an MXD3 overlay, I think a lot of you heard from the community either personally or via email or both, I guess, concerned that, one, it could potentially be the receiving parcel, as well as it, as well as just the level of development still on that parcel. So what they were looking to do, and I think what Johnson was concerned about, was almost requiring stuff to be sent out of there as far as density or commercial.
So the community is looking to require the density shifted off.
I think they were sort of looking for that to limit it in the requirement. I think from hearing Mr. Johnson's advice and trying to find a balance, I took a shot at some language. Whether this language goes directly where I have it in Amendment 3 or goes somewhere else within Amendment, within that part in Amendment 3, I'll defer to Theo and Mr. Johnson. And,
so you're putting in an amendment, is what you're saying?
Here's the suggested language.
Your floating one.
So on the floating zone one where it talks about limiting MXD or from being able to be used on parcels that were brought into the planned service area, was that since this is between what was existing, which is they were allowed, and them not being allowed, that I felt that these requirements, as they don't put anything on another parcel, would not be substantive. They may not be worded the best because it's me.
Do you have it? Did you have it?
I haven't seen it.
So I know. I just wrote it a little while ago. So what I have in here is under that section is, instead of the however, parcels that were added, is it would be however parcels that were added to the planned service area to achieve Bay Restoration goals articulated in Plan Howard 2030 are only eligible, rather than not eligible, are only eligible for MXD if the residential density built on the parcel is limited to the underlying zoning, the percentage of the open space on the parcel, so the parcel, not if they are incorporating another plan, is a minimum of 50%. Employment slash commercial, because I'm not sure how it's getting really defined in there, is limited to 20%.
What's limited to 50 again,
sir? Is not limited, would be a minimum of 50% open space.
Open.
So right now the minimum on open space is 35%, and then residential is 20, employment's 15. So at that point, you're 55, so like 70%. So there's still room to increase that as a minimum, and that would be on the partial open space.
And residential is what now?
And then I'll get this. Residential, the residential minimum
20.
Is 20 percent.
In your amendment?
And then I didn't change the residential minimum or maximum as far as a percentage. It's just okay. that the number of units would be based off the underlying zoning on that parcel, and I'll come back to that in a second. Employment commercial is limited to 20%, and the minimum right now is 15, it just puts the maximum at 20, and that's just because of how on that parcel. If the parcel is incorporated into an adjacent MXD district, neither residential density or commercial employment requirements from another parcel may be transferred into that parcel. And so it's just more precluding things from being transferred in. Things currently can be sort of transferred out by making that an aggregate parcel, correct?
If they were to combine
them. If they were to combine them. So, you know, you could still use the additional or all of it over onto another parcel. But it doesn't require it. It just is limiting what can be done on that particular parcel. That's it.
15
is minimum.
No, are you changing employment?
The minimum is 15. I just put a max on it. I didn't want to max it. Just because it takes up the area on that.
And the max is what that you're proposing?
Okay. Is this one centered?
No. This is an amendment to an amendment. So it wasn't required for pre-file.
So in a nutshell, you're limiting.
Correct.
But it would still include commercial.
Still include commercial, and that other commercial and other residential, if it were incorporated into an adjoining parcel, incorporated into. That could be done anyway. They could
and that would be under MXD.
That's correct. MXD 3 would be an MXD 3 overlay to the RED, which is what.
Restricting what they could do there.
Part of that is to make sure there's that the transition. Well, which is the other part. That the RED, for example, in this particular case, which is, you know, budget currently, is somebody could always apply for MXD or try to get MXD onto the other ones at some point. That. What it would do is still limited to the underlying zoning as far as what could be done on that parcel, but not on the project as a whole. So it's just that parcel perspective.
Well, let's see it when you have it drafted. So, getting a little late, though.
It's an amendment to an amendment. So the focus
got another 24 hours to go.
The focus was on amendments that had to be pre-filed. There's a couple other ones that we were told.
I understand. Here's what I would suggest. If we could have them by the end of the day, we can have time, because I don't want to be voting on something on Maple Lawn and getting an amendment on the floor or even an hour beforehand.
Just to be clear, we asked Mr. Johnson to come.
Well, because he was –
Is that legally sufficient?
He had questions about substantive,
right.
About the concept of substantive, and so I wanted to make sure as far as in the area I was placing it, it may need to – be broken up and be a slightly different amendment, you know, and be put into different sections within the requirements. And I understand that. But as far as those concepts, based off of the fact that, you know, MXD was allowed, now MXD under this amendment, which was pre-filed a long time ago, like over a month ago, would not have been allowed. This is actually now allowing it under certain conditions. So I'm not sure why that would be substantive in any form, because it doesn't impact another property. You know.
Well, obviously, you all are the ultimate.
I understand that.
Of what's substantive. You all decide on whether it's substantive or not.
I understand.
And I agree with you that Amendment 3 provides an arguable placeholder for an amendment. That doesn't have the same problems as the –
I agree.
Transferring off, and I think the people in those areas.
This would have an issue. I would agree with you.
Have any idea about it. Let's solve that problem. I would like to see the
actual language. I'll copy it and paste it over.
I understand. You would be inserting this in MXD and possibly in PS as well?
No, just putting it in the MXD.
and communication to the citizens, even though if the MXD were not changed and something were to come forward, you could use the language that you're talking about in the thinking about what the zoning board would approve. Just unusual to have a a very specific set of rules that's entirely different than all other properties within a subsection of a district.
Do you not...
I understand, but that was sort of what was done for the 2.3 to 2.7, too.
Yeah, but that was done during the zoning case, though, right?
I'm just saying.
I was just going to... That leads into my question. Do you not believe the zoning board would do what you're suggesting anyway?
I have no idea.
Could they? Could the
Mr.
Johnson, can the zoning board do what he's suggesting through the MXD process?
They could. It doesn't have the automatic.
Right. But they could limit it to those. They could make those limitations. You're trying to do
tied
is
it to the criteria. Yeah.
You're trying to make sure.
That's right. Versus.
But it doesn't prohibit it.
It's looking for the compromise rather than fighting over not having it on there at all and trying to keep it RED or take it back further or anything else.
Basically, what your amendment is saying then is to the property owner at this point who's requested the change is you get RED, even though it says you get MXD. The only way you get MXD is if you can work with your neighbors.
And
if you can't work with your neighbors,
you still get commercial.
You get
RED. Commercial. Right. Which is still a transition.
Was the Mr. Johnson the language that you had concerns about that could be arguably substantive that has now been taken out? What was that?
There was two different issues, if I remember correctly. One was the one that they were proposing, the community was proposing an amendment that would have actually required the density and commercial to be done on adjoining parcels. An adjoining, I believe that's sort of how that language was put out there.
If you were going to develop MXD, it basically said you have to go elsewhere because the whole property would have to be developed as RED.
The difference of this is that
it's just providing different requirements for MXD.
I guess I don't understand the distinction between having to go elsewhere and just can't have that.
You can still have the commercial and residential on this parcel.
So you're just lessening the amount as opposed to saying.
And it's only on the parcel itself. So the rights of that, if you do work with a joint parcel, you would just be able to incorporate them elsewhere, but it doesn't require you to. That's the way it is now. I mean, right now, if you were to bring it in, they could say, we're going to make that 100% open space, and we're just going to move everything over to another part of the
I guess if
plan.
That's the way it is now.
Well, why do we need it changed?
No, that's what allows us to go in versus that doesn't put a max on that particular property that's sitting in the watershed that was brought in for bay restoration goals. That's basically what
we're
trying to do.
But, okay.
Initially, also, I said that you couldn't tie this to a map amendment. Which was 51.
Oh, that was the other issue, too. That's right. It was actually
Fox had filed this
text amendment.
Could theoretically do an amendment.
Okay, but yours would... I mean, aren't we deciding whether or not to put the MXD on now?
That's one of the amendments. Mm-hmm. That's Amendment 51.
So I guess I don't understand how you would say
they're
only eligible. Like, we're deciding whether it says only eligible if the density is limited.
Point, says it's not eligible. So he's taking that idea that it's in 3 and now making it.
But how would it be then determined whether it's eligible? Because aren't we deciding now whether to put it on there?
No, that's just in the regulations that would be applied.
Oh, I see.
The property that is zoned MXD.
So it would be MXD.
Yeah, it would only be able to be developed, not be able to be developed
that way versus be able to be put on that way.
So
just that we have a map that it's already with.
Yeah, what I think Ms. Serraza is correct.
I have to have my wording correct.
Right.
I understand. We're on the same point. Okay. We're on the same wavelength, all three of us, believe it or not.
Okay.
You get it, Ms. Serraza?
Well, I mean.
See, if we vote Amendment 3,
yes.
It says it's only eligible if it meets these criteria, then we vote Amendment
right.
51 and says.
It does meet that criteria? But how would we determine what
only
the residential.
Be developed
right,
versus
only
be
developed. Yeah.
That was a good guess.
You zoned an MXE3 overlay. You've decided that's something that is an option for that. Then it would be go under the regulations.
I got it.
And you're essentially
I got it.
Okay, so you're essentially going to define it as
I got it.
RED, or how does that compare? How does what you're limiting it to, because I don't have the amendment from
your
me.
Amendment is RED with an MXE3 overlay.
Well, I know that. I drafted and signed off on it. What I guess I'm saying, but I don't have the numbers, your numbers in front of me, and I don't know how that compares to RED, but you're basically limiting it to what's in the underlying zone or no?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the difference between that? I guess I don't understand why we'd do that. If we're going to limit to what's in the underlying zone, what would be the advantage of making it anything other than RED? Isn't that just calling it RED by another name?
No. Well, two things. One, you can still have commercial. And two.
But do they want to have commercial? I thought both the owner and the community
look,
didn't want commercial.
The whole thing to be RED. So you know, I'm fine going that direction. I'm trying to find compromise that commercial and or any other future changes.
Okay. I guess I am.
That's all. I mean, I prefer. I would just assume it be all RED.
Right, but I guess
well,
I don't
know that because you have that amendment in as well.
I do.
Okay, but I guess from the perspective of folks who want to do it RED MXD3, it's not really an advantage unless those folks were interested in commercial.
Or joining up or developing as RED.
Well, I'm talking about the advantages over just calling it RED and calling it a day.
I'm good with that.
Well, okay. So, I don't know where everyone else is leaning. But my thought on it is I like the MXD3. It allows us to do the limits that you're talking about, us to make that decision. It's a process. It brings it to us before we do that. I'm satisfied with that. I understand that the community is concerned about what we would do.
Well, the other concern is a push to bring in additional density onto that site.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think that, right.
And that's the thing. If that's open,
right, I agree.
It's totally open. And I'm not, I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah. I mean, I had something drafted that might be able to protect against that. Piece, if that's the direction people are going. But if what we're trying to do is add commercial, or if what we're trying to do is go back to RED, I'm not sure I understand the point in going that direction.
You want to make sure that density isn't brought in.
I think it makes sense to say that you can't. Yeah, there was never my intent.
Send density.
No, I don't care.
They wanted to. The community was asking to do that.
I understand why we can't. And,
okay.
And whether that happens. When it comes to that point, you know, if that happens, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, we could, right.
That's really
The bigger issue is that's the property that's closest to the watershed.
Right.
Is to.
So what's your amendment do?
So it would limit the ability to bring in additional density,
and what
sort of based
there?
On the.
So it would be MXD3, but no additional density.
Right. You couldn't bring any more in. You could say in no case could it exceed 3 units per acre or 2.5 or whatever.
2.3
and
or the existing, the underlying across the street.
The underlying, okay, or 2.3, whatever it is, 2.3 would.
Any amendments on this?
We could do a 2.3. I mean,
well, we have the two map original ones that were.
Just break it down to
our different combinations of RE15 and RE.
Are there folks? I mean, I don't know that we have a lot of support.
In a nutshell,
for
RE15, we have administration saying RE15 and RED two amendments. We have. Your amendment, which is all RED. We have your amendment, which is all MXD, and we have
well, it's RED or MXD.
Right.
To give
and
an option.
We also have an option with your amendment limit density being brought in. And then we also have an option from you on MXD to similar type of thing, but to control it a little bit more through the amendment before it goes to the MXD process. Anything we missed?
There could certainly be different variations on, again, a split between RED and some higher density if one wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm. But, like, are you saying some RED and some MXD?
I guess I was thinking they had asked for RED
and RA15.
And RA15. There are other zones besides RA15, or the other option is RA15 gets more compact.
Gets smaller.
Smaller piece than RA.
So is there anything else we need to
do? I think we should take a straw vote on this one.
I don't know. I think that's a great idea.
Well, it would enable everyone to decide kind of whether we need to change a map or whether Greg has to write twice as fast on his MXD amendment.
Personally, I'm not inclined to change the map. I like my amendment in terms of the map and in terms of the options. I mean, that's
the thing about MXD that's attractive is that it does go through a pretty rigorous review by elected officials who are responsive to the community. And I actually had a conversation with the neighbors about that, you know, explaining that we don't have that ability with RED.
Although RED is
less dense.
Yeah, and actually.
Well, how much less dense?
Maybe a third?
Net. What's that?
Two per net acre.
And then
I think it's about a third. I mean,
two-thirds.
I think it's about 33% less dense.
Yeah, but right.
I think that's about right.
So if we limited it, that's sort of the direction
exactly.
I was going. I mean,
not
if you want to limit.
Exactly that.
I mean,
trade-off is 33% less dense and no control, or one-third more density and control.
Well, they still could do RED, so it's not. It doesn't mean they can't develop as RED.
It doesn't. That's true.
So.
But they wouldn't, would they? Maybe they would.
They might.
They didn't want to go through the process.
Right.
They want
so the question, I mean, I can put it in at, you know, mine you could, and I guess I will have Paul take a look at it and see, would be to have, we could limit it at three. We could limit it. The only reason I drafted that is that I like my amendment. I like where I was going with it. It was, I thought, a reasonable compromise spot, but it was never my intent to allow them to import density, to go over the MXD three.
So I agree.
If we... And I feel like the zoning board is a protection against that. If other folks feel like that's a necessity to have further protection, maybe we can forward that to Mr. Johnson in whatever form it's in, so he at least, I don't know if he's seen it or not, but yeah, we should just, so he, in the interest of time, we should probably send that even before it's completely drafted. Or drafted.
And I'll do, before mine's drafted, just the general.
And then we put it in at 3, or we can put it in at something else. I mean, 3 is the MXD 3, and then it doesn't allow additional density to come in.
The only other thing I was going to say
three,
is...
Do and then we can cross out the 3 on... Yes. Well, we can do both if you want. I don't know. Either way, I think Mr. Johnson should have a chance to take a look at it before it's 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, and the only... And the only other thing I was going to say, Ms. Watson, is, well, it doesn't come to us. RED, unlike most of the other residential zones, does require the approval of a preliminary equivalent sketch plan by the planning board.
RED. R-E-D.
So right. that was one of the other things I remember bringing up originally. That's why I just I was like, when you said that, I was like, yeah. I just don't
yeah,
know
yeah.
them all
so
by heart.
So it has some level of review.
Yeah, it does have some level already.
So if anybody has thoughts on whether they want me to put that in or not, just
yeah,
share those with me offline. Then.
I'm just going to clean
and I'll circulate mine, and you can tell me what you think.
Okay,
so what's next? You
thank
have mine.
Okay.
Thank you. Farming. So I had
71, 14, 83.
So.
Amendment 70?
Amendment 70, Amendment 114, Amendment 83.
What's the topic?
This is farming.
Farming.
I had... Miss Knight, that's what I was asking before, if you wanted to, on the, not on the chickens, on the your
yeah.
first one, just stay on that.
I'm sure you guys probably received as many emails, or maybe not as many, but a lot of the same emails that I did on some of this. And I had Karen just quickly pull just a number of the topics. I'm just going to sort of read some of them off. I'm not, you know, I still have a lot of concerns over this based off of the community having concerns. And I know you guys have all worked hard to address, you know, a lot of them, but I'm just not sure, and with everything going on, that we're getting them all there, and that this isn't something that really requires a little bit, you know, more time to look at, and if there's certain things that might be better being pulled out and other things that are less controversial, rather than pulling the whole thing out, maybe looking to pull certain things out. But I guess, and maybe some of these have been addressed, and I guess I'm going to look over to that side of the table, Ms. McLaughlin, Ms. Hamilton, Ms. Sager, maybe you can address each of these. So one comment, if you guys are okay with me just sort of reading the summary of comments, it's not the whole email.
Go for it.
And one by one. So do not define structures in a way that puts restrictions on the way land must be used for farming. You know, do you guys believe that's still the case at this point?
Well, what we're trying to say is that, and we've modified the definition of the farm, so it means simply anything that's more than 3 acres. So once you're more than 3 acres, you're capable of being a farm, and there really are no restrictions on how structures are used.
Okay.
Again, Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Part of this, and the reason it's been defined at 3 acres, is just like with chickens, this is us trying to also manage that interface between. Disparate perspectives on how people get to use their land.
I understand.
Yeah, I just want to say, it's important to say that, because in all of this, it's about trying to manage that.
I know.
And I'm finding it difficult.
I hear you. But, you know, everything we were supposed to be doing, you know, was supposed to, you know, all about right to farm and getting
there. I understand.
So
I absolutely
I'm just concerned about anything that's going to be putting any restrictions on, you know, on farming that aren't truly for health and safety reasons. The next was eliminate any restrictions on small farms regarding the ability to sell produce. So is there something that was done there?
No.
I didn't remember seeing that.
We added the CSA.
There's a CSA amendment.
In RED, the only thing that
What was the CSA amendment? It was...
CSA...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
CSA and Farm CSA minimum is 3 acres.
Is there any that we're seeing it where it's less than 3 acres where it's happening
and
now?
And you're saying that's too...
Well, I'm saying that it restricts your less than 3 acres.
I hear that.
In
is
the
that,
old regulations, you have
and you're
to
saying that's appropriate
acres.
Or... Okay.
But in the old regs, you had to be 5 acres. So now we're saying you can do it on 3.
And again, it's trying to find that balance between how fast do you go down to really small.
Was there any restrictions, additional restrictions placed on that?
Just at 5 acres.
Yeah.
Look that up today.
Where's that?
If I recall correctly.
It's 128.
Page 368 for small farm stands. And CSAs from 371. And you're right. I mean, D for farm stands, for instance, on 368, the minimum size for a farm stand with no more than 300 square feet is 5 acres.
And we've dropped it down to 3.
Hold on.
That's existing text, line 50.
And the assumption was...
So that made it easier. And that's good. So.
And that's really assuming that you're farming, you're selling your own farm stuff. The larger farms tend to have larger farm stands, and we assumed that if you were, maybe you just grow flowers. You may not want to have a farm stand of your own, and it may be that you just produce your flowers or whatever to somebody else to sell.
Is the issue of the acreage whether you're selling, is that about only if you sell on site?
Yes, it's only if you sell on site.
But if you
C
don't,
number two.
If you don't, is that okay?
Absolutely.
So you can sell any other way you want.
You can sell any other way you want. You could have a partnership.
It doesn't matter how big you're.
Right. Okay. You could have a pickup truck as long as you have a peddler's license and sell out of the back of your pickup truck.
Okay.
This is, again, one of those neighbor things. You know, you can have a
you know, a 1-3 acre lot and be in the middle of a subdivision, and not everybody wants a farm stand in the middle of the subdivision. So by being a 3 acre threshold, it seemed like it would be more likely that there would be some elbow room and your neighbors would be okay.
Right, but it does loosen it up.
Yes.
Right, and then I see the only minor one was just a setback on the large ones, right? Mm-hmm. Next comment was, address this one. Now, this is... I think this is going back to where it was, which I think this is where some of the concerns of those in that 1-3 acre area are, is remove 3 acres or larger from the definition of farm and add the livestock and residential parcels in Section 128. This will allow people farming crops, vegetables, fruits to still be a farm and would have criteria for those who want to do livestock on smaller lots.
That's what the intent is. You can grow anything you want to. The fruits and vegetables, flowers, nobody cares about. It's really only the animals that anybody has any problems with, which is why we have the regulations related to animal keeping. And after some considerable discussion, the amendments that are in now before you allow, we do have an animal ratio, but there's language that will actually have a new amendment to 70, which deals with a higher ratio will be allowed upon the finding by DPZ that the property owner has obtained an management plan and a land and water conservation plan endorsed by the Howard County Soil District that adequately manages the property for the higher ratio.
I got you, but I guess, and I can ask back the question based off of that, you know, from the individual, is, you know, why is that a concern to them based off of what you're saying? You know, because obviously they realize that it's not somebody who's caring about the livestock side of it, but still wants to be a farm that's under 3 acres. So there's got to be some reason that they're wanting that to be the case.
Right?
I don't know why.
Mr. Fox, there was some inaccurate information that went out in the first round of information, and I think some of the folks that we're still hearing from.
This is all comments related to what we sent out. These are only comments that have come back in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
As a response to us putting out the language that was put out by
DPZ.
So now some of it may have been they didn't read it.
Yes.
They may have not read it, and they may have just regurgitated it.
Clearly they hadn't read it.
So I'm just not sure why, you know, but want to at least bring them up just because maybe they're seeing something that we're not. Reserve the rights of landowners to have livestock as currently zoned. Keep that's most of. I think a lot of it's from those who have existing livestock, and feel that it's going to be taken away.
But the 40,000 square feet is already there.
Yes, so this is the 1-3 acre folks.
Right, and it's not going to be taken away.
Right,
it's going to be. But what it is going to be now is we have a requirement for having to have management plans in order to be able to manage it well. I mean, the one thing that happened at the meeting last Friday that you weren't there, but Karen was, mm-hmm. was very clear that the mm-hmm. experts in the room, the folks who, the vet, the president of the Horse Council, Amy Burke out of University of Maryland, were saying that and reminding everybody at the table that when you have animals on smaller acreage, it becomes so much harder to manage the property well. And so the consensus was, out of the group, that in order to ensure that the property is managed well, we're not going to take away mm-hmm. your ability to have what you currently have. But if you have more than the one animal unit per acre, you've got to have these plans basically to ensure that you know what you're doing. And actually, interestingly enough, I had this conversation with, you remember Mrs. Marshall, who came in to testify with the little barn and her 1.57 acres and her 3 horses and her little barn? I actually had this conversation with her about where the, you know, what the consensus had been, et cetera, and she did not see that that was going to impact her. So I at least went to somebody who had shared with us that she fell into the category that we were talking about.
There's also a lot of discussion about, particularly because this was a largely equine-oriented crowd, about there are things like riding rings and run-in shelters that are not full structures, and they did not want them to all be burdened by the full structure setback, so we made some definition of structure to give a little bit more flexibility about some of those things. We're going to add one we forgot, which is wet weather pads, which is, again, from a management standpoint, what happens when you try and
manage
soil,
land.
Soil from being too beaten down so that when it rains, it all runs into your neighbor's property.
Okay. Now, the other amendments that we thought potentially could impact, potentially, is I believe
one about
83.
You said 80.
Yeah, it was 83. Yeah, it was, that's actually your amendment, Courtney.
83.
On the setbacks and RC and RR. What was your concern there? And then does that conflict with anything on the eggs? Does that potentially
conflict with the concern was that there are people in RC and RR that have structures right on the lot line, right next to the property. Where
usually they're sheds in the back corners.
Back corners sometimes are not. But they are right on the lot line. Not the ones that, there was a particular one that called me that the shed was not, was on right on the lot line on the side. And there was no reason for that, you know, that they should be able to give their neighbors some space with that large of a lot. Now, I would count on Ms. McLaughlin to tell me if this causes any problems in other areas, such as.
We have, if I remember reading, I was reviewing some of the farmer, and I haven't looked at this in context of the actual law. I just see something in that zone that's saying minimum setbacks for anything, and then we have the other side. If I remember reviewing Ms. Siggety, you know, going over some of the language that, you know, if it's a farm, if, you know, farm structures that would have no setbacks, like the riding rings, this, that, and the other thing.
It's a good point. Does it conflict or not conflict with anything else?
Well, the way they wanted those few things to be left out of structure, then it would be, they would not be subject to structure setbacks. So that's something that I think.
So this only affects accessory structures.
Right.
So if they're left out, then it wouldn't affect them. Do you see any other conflicts?
I do not see any other conflicts. I think the only other main thing that they were focused on was, again, the barns and the size of the barns, because, again, these are small horse operations. They're not large ones. And so that 200 feet we were talking about between, you know, animal structures, structures holding animals and neighbors.
Let me ask you something about, for example, a garage. Garage would have to be detached to fall into this, right?
Right.
So if you have a large lot right now, you could have a three-car garage, and it could be right on the lot line. No,
a garage would be accessory structure.
No, if it's attached to the house, it's part of the house. So
no,
it would be
detached. But if it's detached.
Oh, if it's detached, yes, it would be the structure setback for accessories.
So right now, without this amendment, it would be zero in some cases.
Yes, some, yes. In some cases. So I was surprised that some.
Okay, so there,
that's reasonable?
I know what you're saying.
No, I'm asking your opinion. I just put this in there because
I can definitely see the issue. I just want to make sure.
I agree.
And I not being able to piece all that stuff together
know,
in
I
all
agree.
The various areas, it's hard to say.
And so we're going from 0 to 5 and 0
right,
to
10. Can we repeat just a second? Under the current regulations, the ones we have today, if you have a detached garage, or if you have an accessory structure, and we'll use a detached garage, you can actually build it on your lot line?
Not if you're in the RC and the RR.
Not if you're in the RC and the RR.
You can't.
The rear is 20 and the side is 20.
Okay, what can you, in the RR, what is zero in the RR and RC?
That was a proposal that we provided that was trying to make this distinction about smaller accessory structures.
That had to do also, I think, with DILP's requirement, because DILP
oh, yes,
didn't
that's
require
true. That was a change of
permit.
Ah, there it is.
Shed.
Got it. I don't know who hand wrote that, so I guess, again, this is your number.
Okay, so DILP made a
DILP changed their definition of shed. It used to be that sheds were only 100 square feet, and there were no building permits. No one would ever know what they are, and there had been a longstanding rule that sheds of 100 square feet could be right on the property line. Then they changed their definition as to what they didn't want to see, and they were saying small sheds of 200 square feet
are now common practice.
Are now common practice, and they should still be on the same approach is how we handled it in the past. So we propose to change it only because we have no other way of policing it other than matching
them. And we want it to
them.
Be consistent with, right. with their regs as well. So that's why we had changed it.
But I don't disagree that having, with lots that size, having some setback makes sense. So I'm comfortable with
setback. You don't see any conflicts anywhere. Assuming there are no conflicts, we have another 24 hours to make sure there aren't. But I think it makes sense. It's mostly your district, Greg. So
yeah, the only thing I can see where you're saying with the 5 feet, I guess my concern is that the other, even before, would have only been, was already at 10 feet. That's been the existing. All they were doing when they added the zero was breaking that up into 20
sheds.
The 20 and 10. Or, excuse me, 200 and less than 200, and putting that at 10 and 0.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see whether you were going to even put them at all 10 feet or whatever, but we're changing the 0 to 5. I guess I don't know if we need to make the other 15. I don't know.
I mean,
you're District 2. You live in the same You live
I think,
in that same
zone. I
think
zone. It makes sense, but if you think it should be changed, I'm willing to accept a friendly amendment.
So, I mean, I guess wouldn't mind getting DPC's input on that.
What I'm saying is that because it was 10 feet before for accessory structures to the rear, feeling is that that would make sense to keep it and just change the
one down to 5. You're just giving a little bit of relief. I'm just wondering if you think that that's what would make more sense based off of what your intent was. I mean, if it had stayed 10, would anybody have even? Or if you just left it at 10 and took that amendment out, would anybody have cared?
I don't know. We haven't had a lot
you,
of issues.
What you were doing was easing something up to go back to where it was, and now we're talking about making it tougher than what it was. So
so maybe we just make it 5 for the small ones and 10 for the larger ones?
That's hers.
If someone wants to submit an amendment, I'm fine with that.
Marcia?
You want us to do that?
I'll let
you do it. Well, you guys added this change.
Wait a minute. If you're comfortable with it, say so. If you want him to do an amendment and he wants to do it, say so. Don't let the council put stuff on you that you don't want to do.
I think Ms. Sager here, who's the one who's going to get stuck with doing it, has plenty on her plate right now. So I guess I don't feel strongly one way or the other.
Go ahead.
So you want to drop the...
Just the one part to 5.
Keep it to 10?
Yes. But let the 5 stay. All right. Don't take that back to 0.
Okay. 0 is going to 5.
Okay. So are we finished with 71-14-83?
Or the other thing, let me just even go the other way with it. I mean, do we just leave it the way it was and just take that whole thing out?
So there's no distinction to the smaller...
I don't know.
I think he's
constructed. I don't know. I just think the structure ought to have a setback.
That's how I feel. I don't care if it's divided into 2 or not.
And like I said before, we were trying to keep it
proportional, which is.
And then make it 5.
No. I mean, in other words, we have 30 and 10, so we.
Yep, I got you. So make it 5.
So make what 5?
The less than 2.
The zeros.
The zero is 5.
What are they now?
Oh, excuse me. Keep the 0 as 5. Make the 15s 10. Sorry, I'm listening to Marcia.
So you want to go 0 and 10.
So 200 square feet
or greater.
No, 5 and 10.
You want to keep it at 10.
Okay.
You know, and I actually debated that, Greg, but then he talked me into proportionality because it was more organized. So that's going to be 5 and 10.
It's line 16 and line 19, those 10s. But those 15s making them 10.
Well,
yeah, you got it. All right.
Just real quick.
Oh, God.
No. I just want to point this out. The way it's written right now is a principal structure from the lot line is 10 feet, but an accessory structure greater than 200 square feet would actually be higher than the principal structure. So if you had a 500 square foot shed, it would have to be further away than your house would from the lot line.
That makes sense.
Why?
Because in the backyard? That makes perfect sense.
A smaller structure would have to have a further setback?
Because it's a shed. It's not the principal structure.
You see, in Newtown, we require them to be on the lot line. So
it's a shed.
I
hear
you. All right. We're going to go with 0. And we're going to go with 5 and 10.
5 and 10.
Okay.
Moving on. What's next?
So who's doing that?
I get it. Theo. Yes, Theo.
Okay.
And then what was the other amendment, 114?
That's adverse impact.
Did you give me that number?
No,
that was something that we put in. It actually came up from Elio Farm, and Martha Clark Crisp raised the subject that she has an agritourism permit. There are a number of other new permits in that section of 128I, and there's language that has been there for a long time for all of them, that amongst the criteria, that one of them deals with adverse impact on neighboring properties. And the term that's in there right now is significant adverse impact. We had a lot of discussion internally about what significant means, because obviously a farmer and a neighbor could have
this
very
This is more of a right-to-farm type of amendment,
mm-hmm.
correct?
I'm good with it.
Yeah. I just want to make sure, because it was one of the ones we hadn't seen yet. I just want to have all the farming amendments just brought
right.
up.
And it's just standard practices as being acceptable.
Comfortable with the court? I'm just...
What were we talking about? Remind me.
This is the adverse impact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I looked at this. I have already marked it. Okay.
If any of the former council members over by you start doing some things that might start smelling that are normal, you're okay that it wouldn't be significant. And,
it's already happening. So. And the foxes are murdering chickens daily, just so you know. Okay, keep going.
In Font Hill, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So are we finished with those three? Or
Can I just say very quickly, we received an email from the Howard County Farm Bureau, and in short, they say that they recommend that we approve these changes.
On the farming? Yeah.
Yeah. Final thoughts on zoning changes regarding farming.
Yeah, okay. And so, Lucigna, you've been working on them with
mm-hmm.
DPZ and
mm-hmm.
Greg as well. You all are comfortable that they're in a place.
I think they're
getting
in,
closer.
They are in a. We've responded to many of the issues that were out there. Can I guarantee that we've responded to everyone and we found everything that can potentially have some negative impact? No, but I think what I've been telling everyone is that I'm comfortable with moving them forward. And should we discover that something that we've inadvertently done something, we'll correct it.
And do people understand that when these new regulations go into effect, whatever they're doing now that they've been doing forever, do they understand that there isn't a DPZ police that go to farms? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Do they know it's complaint driven?
Yeah.
There isn't.
Yeah, it's only Kathy Hudson's currently really in trouble right now.
There are probably many Kathy Hudsons in the county, and I don't know which one it was.
Okay. So, some I think they're not. I really, the folks that are the potential impact is really at less than 3 acres.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And
if they haven't been complained about yet.
The other thing on less than 3 acres at the moment is that we worked really hard to ensure that we were not going to negatively impact 4-H projects. And I spent time talking to two women who are actively in 4-H who were comfortable with what we were doing. There are a couple of questions that have come up. I think that people are reading more into the regulations that are actually potentially there, but who knows, right?
I just have a thought. Go ahead.
Okay.
Nobody's come after them yet.
Okay.
So here's a thought. if some of the things are already wrong, and they're not being, that's a different issue.
Right.
But if we've done something new that now somebody picks up on as a neighbor, we didn't really intend it to be that way, but now they're clawing at it. Is there some overall language that we can put in that thing that has, that has to do with something like with that, as far as from an enforcement standpoint, that, having to do with, not necessarily doing enforcement, giving us a chance to potentially correct
that. Can there be a grace period?
A grace period?
Yes,
That then would allow us to potentially, so people aren't harping.
We don't have office of law here, so.
But you understand, it potentially protects you guys a little bit, too, because if all of a sudden you get a bunch of
Why don't we send that off and find out?
You want to call them?
separately? You understand what I'm looking for. You can do it offline so we can keep moving.
Yeah, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Okay.
You understand what I'm asking, yeah, right?
We still need to have, our staff needs to have time to draft the things we're discussing.
Do we have anything else?
Well, I guess I'm not sure. I was busy making notes on something, and what I'm understanding is there's some kind of grace period, but what are you trying to protect?
Well, if we have some, so if, let's say, you know, now we've got folks all of a sudden, you know, complaining based off the new rules that have been put in, and we missed something that we didn't intend. You know, one is a grace period for people to be able to adjust to things that we did intend, one. And two, as it relates to how we're getting a number of complaints on a particular thing that we're not intended, that because we've allowed for this grace period, we don't have to enforce it, and during that time we can fix that via, you know, ZRA or whatever.
I think it's hard from the staff standpoint if we do get someone who's complaining and we're trying to look at the regulations, but then do we look at the new regulations or the old regulations, because the new ones are, it just makes it ambiguous.
I think consolation, if we had a violation, we would issue a notice of violation based on the new regulations. If we knew that there was legislation that was brewing, or if the person submitted a ZRA.
May not be brewing, but that's the issue. That's why I'm asking. We don't know. I mean, Ms. Sigourney, who has spent a lot of time on this as well, you know, said we don't know what we've missed.
I'm feeling... All right,
ever know
point,
everything that we can.
I mean,
we're really
a lot of changes,
and I'm feeling comfortable, and I think that what,
weeks.
And here's what I would hope, all right? If we start seeing a pattern of something that we've really made an error on, we will, planning and zoning will see it, and they'll bring forward the idea of making a change to the zoning regulations. At which point, anyone who's got a zoning violation against them, correct me if I'm wrong, what you just said is, as that works its way through, those are held as suspended.
In limbo, right.
They're held because there's a potential remedy coming.
Yes.
I think the other thing is we now actually have the beginnings of a small farm email list. Ooh. And we talked to the group that we met with last Friday about, you know, it probably isn't going to be perfect. And I think people's attitudes about farming and doing more things themselves are evolving. Mm-hmm. So we certainly could, you know, plan on... You know, 6 months from now, maybe sending out an email saying we think it's going pretty well here or there. Some feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, we do that with some other issues. You know, we do that with bicycling and stuff. Just because sometimes you don't know when you're impacting other people.
Objective. I think what happens sometimes is when you get involved in a complaint, you've got two neighbors are going.
We're already invested. Have a vested interest in the result. Okay. Well, there's the amendments that I filed, and there was a meeting. We got an email from, you mean nuisance, the emails that we got from the community saying they'd met with.
Well, wait a minute. You said the amendments you filed.
I didn't get
any. You didn't get something from Ms. Garber about the meeting here?
You've got
I think Ms. Garber's here. I think the official vote was that they would rather remain B2. I do think, I mean, I have heard from some folks in the community who felt like that balance. I mean, I think the reality is, I mean, I feel like 40 is reasonably intense there, but the question is, at what point does that, it's better than it was when it was proposed, and whether it's better than B2, the risk of B2. But my understanding, Ms. Garber, was that the community voted, took a vote and on that.
The initial vote.
Go ahead.
Yes, green
okay.
Light. It's
thanks.
On.
It's just
the initial vote.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Garber. I'm sorry.
A week ago when we met with you, as you know, it was overwhelmingly B2 was the vote.
A week ago.
Basuto approached us Friday to ask if we could get together again. Once again, we jumped through hoops. We listened to their proposal. Basically, they promised if we would support them that they would guarantee not to go over 40. There were about 15 of us at the time, and that represented less than half of the core group that has been at this process the whole time. So the folks who were there voted that day and also decided we needed to let the other people have an opportunity. After the vote was taken, the results were more than 2-1 in favor of B2.
Okay, so you had about 15 people. So what does that break down to?
Well, no, we had a total, we have a total of 36 people who've been coming to all these meetings,
okay,
all the ones. So it was 23-10. There were three people we weren't able to reach because they were on vacation. I mean, we were Skyping people out of the country. We really, you know, did our best to make it a fair vote. And the part of the feedback was if it were 30, we could do it. And you have to keep in mind that the community went from no development to 10 to 20 and finally to 30. In other words, we asked for R20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Which would have been 10 units. And then on council's advice.
Oh, 10 units total. I'm sorry. Okay.
To consider clustering. We went to 4-unit density for 20 homes. And then when Mr. Reza introduced the concept of the RSAH, the community said this sounded like a good idea, but with a cap of 6.
So can I ask a question? On the B2 use, as you're thinking about commercial use in that spot and the commercial kinds of traffic, deliveries, dumpsters, emptying dumpsters, all that stuff, do you really think that the 23 people who supported B2 supported B2 because they want to see, they would prefer to see B2 over the houses, or because they don't think B2 will be viable and therefore it will remain undeveloped?
I would have to say it's probably a split figure.
Some think there's a chance it would never be developed, and others think B2 is actually better.
I think the majority thinks B2 is preferable to a high-density development. Bottom line is the public facilities, particularly schools and roads, are just not adequate to support more residents. And we don't see that changing soon. And I found it interesting that, you know, people like myself who don't have school children cared enough about the kids that they just don't want to see more bodies, more chairs, because even with the expanded construction, it doesn't change the size of the cafeteria. You know, kids are eating 145.
Right, I think that is an issue that has been brought up repeatedly. I definitely think that's something that needs to be addressed.
Well,
regardless,
I have to say we really appreciate, and I'm sure midnight oil was spent last night, and I was on right away this morning to take it out and make the changes right on the copy and such, and I really appreciate the fact that you incorporated so many of the ideas. But unfortunately, the density is just gone the wrong way. I think rather than having put this new zone between RA15 and RSA8, it would more appropriately for this site have been between RSA8 and RSC.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, in fairness to a developer, it's pretty hard to imagine how you could fit 50 units on this small of a parcel and at the same time still provide any buffers for the environment and such. So they'd either have to get kind of little or have very long rows. And so I'm not sure it's fair to a developer to tell them it's a 10 when 10 probably isn't achievable.
Ms. McLaughlin, do you know if 10 is achievable on that under RH, as it'll be, hopefully, RHED?
RHED.
10 units per acre. I think we looked at, I have to say, we've looked at so many different issues, and we looked at the layout and talked about that, but I don't know, Mr. O's here as well. I don't know if he wants to.
The latest
Well, I mean, if you're going to talk, can you, yes, over here maybe? I don't.
I can say a lot. We've done preliminary layouts. Obviously, you know a lot of some of the usable open space areas. Usable areas is a little bit in flux with the council. So depending on how that goes and what you're is, there's also been setbacks that have been imposed. There's been a lot of changes to the RSA 8 and the RA 15, and consequently.
So you're saying as proposed it could do it or not, or as it is, like as it exists today, could you get that many units in, or as it exists, as it's proposed by DPZ, or under what?
As proposed, I think we did a layout that showed 46 units there. Pretty close to 10. And I think we...
So you can only get 46 on there, or you're under 10, because that's the 10?
But it we frankly try to exceed some of the buffers that we would otherwise have, because we're trying to make an effort to minimize disturbance on the property. If your question to me is on a gut feel, do I believe that you can achieve?
Well, I guess.
I think we've really gone in the wrong direction, because they were only asking for 51 initially, and we really didn't feel that 51 fit. And it seemed like the only difference in number was using the in lieu of to eliminate the moderate income units on the property. That was part of the deal.
So do you understand what she's saying? What I think you're saying is that you couldn't achieve the 51 to begin with, so you're not really coming down from anywhere other than the board.
It is RA-15, so there could potentially have been 75 units. We never heard from the developer between the December filing and March, a week before the planning board, because they got wind of our petition. So we didn't know that they were talking townhouses at that point. But, you know, we have looked at many townhouse developments and tried very hard to make sense of all the bulk regulations, which seem to change daily. And if am I correct that you are voting on applying a zone to this property,
correct,
not approving a specific,
correct,
project?
So what we're talking about is the difference between 75 and 40, not 50. To make sure we all have the numbers.
Do you understand?
I don't think any of you, particularly after seeing the site, could imagine 75 units.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's too intense.
I agree.
Way too intense, mm-hmm, and in a totally inappropriate location, tucked in at the back of his door.
Developer came in. But 51 is inconceivable. Delta really hasn't given anything. That's what I thought I heard your position. I think it's very different from the initial position of we could have up to 75 years.
Yes, I think you're understanding me. From our standpoint, the community went from 0 to 10 to 20 to 30, which by my math is a 300% increase. And
you're
the developer,
starting at zero. Zero residential units, but not zero development.
No. We never said nothing. We would hope, you know, that
right,
that's always, that would be a wonderful,
right,
ultimate thing given the location. But, you know, we moved up from 10 to 20 to 30, a 300% increase. And the developer has come from 51 to 40. And again, that's by eliminating the moderate income units.
Number 75?
That's simply the max under RA 15. And once you apply, if you were to apply RA-15, there'd be absolutely nothing to prevent those 75 units from being built there.
So then that's the max.
Yes.
Okay. That's
So you can see, you know.
Well, I mean, RA-15 allows for apartments, and I think that was one of the concerns.
Yes.
And that was one of the reasons that I looked into developing a zone, was because if they had done RA-15, they could have maxed out. And that both the apartments and the max were of concern to the community.
Right.
And along with a number of the other things that, some of which I've addressed, some of which we can't address here. For example, the schools. I think the traffic is certainly a concern in the area. What I don't know in the traffic, on the traffic, is how, maybe Ms. McLaughlin can help us, how does the traffic compare between some of those B2 uses? I just really don't know how to assess that, and I don't know if you guys have had some discussion about that, but how to assess the difference between the traffic that's produced by some of these uses versus...
Traffic will vary considerably depending on what it is. I think that the main difference is the peak patterns.
Yeah.
You know, with residential, you know, they would be like the rest of the community, mostly commuting out in the morning, coming back, you know, later in the afternoon or early evening, whereas if you have, you know, restaurants, you're going to be low, you know, as well. So they vary.
You guys?
It's not going to be office, though. I mean, that would be the one that is the most opposite in terms of people.
Right.
Okay, so do you guys want to go through briefly through the amendments that I have? I don't know, Mr. O, did you want to say anything else about what was, is that,
I mean,
Ms. Garber just said what about the meeting, and we certainly heard. I have to look. Because I thought the email that you sent me went to everyone, but maybe it only went to me, so I got to make sure that everyone received that.
I wanted you to know.
Well, and I appreciate that, too.
You want to forward it to us in case you forget.
I understand that.
I think that would be good, because that's your assessment of, and I think that's very helpful. It was helpful to me, for sure. And, Mr. O, did you have something you wanted to say on that? I don't know that.
I just wanted to make,
I don't remember an email on that.
Factually say that the 51 units that we were proposed was under our proposal of RA-15. That's about slightly over 10 units per acre of townhouse, which is routinely done by developers throughout the county under the RA-15 zone. So I think that's eminently achievable. The 46-unit plan came about as a result to try to conform to the zone that you submitted,
okay,
the RHED district, and that had the consequence of losing 5 lots. The 40-unit cap...
Losing 5 lots from what you
from
had...
what we proposed.
Requesting.
What we requested. That's correct. Okay. And then our cap of 40, under 46 units, you have a 4.6 unit, or 10% or 4.6 units, or 5 unit MIHE requirement. So 40 out of 46 units... 5 of those would have had to have been moderate income, so we would have had 41 market rate units. We deducted that off, chose a round number, lost an extra unit, went to 40. So the 40 unit cap, which we told the community, the reduction from 51 down to 40 is not all MIHU. So I wanted to, number one, correct that. And we're doing this plan, as I reiterate to the community, with no intention to do a variance. I can't conceive of us trying to do a variance and getting approved for that. And I thought I made that clear. I think there's still some question that we intend to go and do some variances. That's not at all.
I'm sorry, Mr. O. At Sunday's meeting, you specifically said if we needed variances to get the 40, of course we would apply.
You are absolutely incorrect. I have never said that, and I could never say that because I could never meet the criteria for a variance, Ms. Garber. That's absolutely incorrect.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Ms. McLaughlin, can you tell us what would the criteria be for the – I mean, regardless of what was said, I think it's important that the community understand whether or not we could be dipping into these.
Variances are typically looked at from the standpoint of, is there something unique about this property, from the standpoint of unusual topography. It's pretty level. I mean, it does drop down towards the river at some point, but there is a large buildable area. Is it an unusual shape, triangular, or something long and skinny?
Right, but I think the fear is that property. I think the fear is that as you push away from the river, like that might be considered a unique characteristic that they were pushing off the river. And I think the folks want to know what it is that could happen. I mean, how far a variance, can you do a variance to zero? Can you do a variance to?
The hearing examiner grants variances, and the hearing examiner can go to zero on zoning setbacks. If it were things like environmental setbacks, that's handled through the subdivision review committee. And it's clearly in the language that is amendment, you're looking at a whole different kind of set of setbacks than would typically have been in most zoning districts, or certainly the
would that be true in B2 also? Can they get variances for that, or that's?
Yes. But again, you have to justify that there's something unique that creates a unique hardship about this, mm-hmm. and usually it's an irregular shape or something very difficult in terms of topography. Okay. So I think that's what Mr. O means, is that it's hard to justify. Just wanting to do more isn't necessarily
a reason for a variance.
I think we've heard.
Can I just ask if 40 is the cap that a person's going for, isn't there a more appropriate zone to cover that?
What would that be?
No. RSAH could be, or RSA8.
Is this exactly, is this hit 5 acres?
I don't know.
It's just under 5 acres.
Are you saying
it's 4.9? It's 4.7.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying it frightens a community to have a 75 potential because of the zone that's applied, rather than
so
you're a 40 saying, potential.
So you're saying you prefer the RSAH to the RA15, but not to the B2. Is that what you're saying, or I'm not sure?
She's saying if it was something like 9, which would get you to a number that is close to what they're going to be doing, as opposed to calling it 15 and then somehow.
Yeah. I can't even say that, because the community was quite clear. Sat there with them and said, how many can you handle? And six fingers went up, six per acre.
I think that you are analyzing it like we are, from every different angle, trying to figure out a solution. And we have 24 more hours to think about it. Appreciate you being
less
here.
Than that.
23.
Well, by the time you start voting, it'll be 24. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you guys want me to run real quickly through the amendments?
I've read
this?
Them and understand them.
Okay. You guys are good with the amendments that we have on that.
What else do we have on our agenda?
Home contractors.
That really was.
That was yours.
The prior agenda, I should think.
Yeah, I would like to run through.
Well, I also thought folks wanted me to run through CAC and CR, or we're not interested in that.
I'll stay around. If it'd be a one-on-one.
Well, let's start off with home contract.
Okay.
Right. So I just did the same thing again on that one, as far as the pulling stuff. And Karen had sent, had her send out the email. I think the administration will feel vindicated a little on this. This time, everything that came back on that was all about additional restrictions.
They wanted more restrictions. You can't make anybody happy. It's either too tight or too loose.
I just thought you guys would appreciate that. So I think we addressed what we needed.
We had
I think we've got, but if anybody else has any other comments, I don't know if you want any of these.
We had a thorough conversation about this.
Oh, there's that same call again. Is that the husband there?
All right. Actually, it's this one. What are we working on?
Tenant housing.
So, I was going to say, I'll give you, if you're interested, we'll forward you those.
Sure. Are you putting an amendment in?
Not that,
no.
No.
All right, next.
Tenant housing. 73.
This one we're still getting concerns on the restrictions. And then the other part of it.
Not
was,
very many. But didn't the Farm Bureau support it just recently in email?
Yes. They supported it a long time ago as well when we decided not to act on it. But
it's all about that they could get a conditional use
I had tossed that sort of to help you guys come up with a solution.
Yeah,
I had actually.
Yeah, and it works. I think it's a good one.
And, now the only question is that, so we got one that says Ag Board already approved location for house not yet built, would force the return to the board for size and approval would be unjust. So we had the thing about things that were already existing as far as built. Do we change in there, for example, already approved?
Well, Well, we are in the actual language for 100E, which deals with grandfathering throughout the entire zoning. Our amendment is basically to make it be not the date of approval, which is the way it reads right now, but it would be when the initial plan has to be approved before the effective date. So if they've already had an approval from the Ag Board on the location, I don't think we would try and take them back on that.
Have they
filed a building permit?
Are we still talking about amendment?
I think we're on 10 houses, but he's talking about somebody who's midstream in terms of...
Yeah, 73. 67.
So is there something else in addition to 73?
Well, remember we had also changed D on page 427 that talked about...
Let me move to the page.
I don't know if this answers the question or could be expanded, but that was the thing that talked about if farming is no longer the use, then rendering the house not a tenant house anymore. And then we added that phrase. I think you may have done the same amendment.
I think I suggested it. I don't think that I'd do it.
I'm not sure at this point. Saying that it wouldn't apply to a tenant home built prior to this.
Yes,
so whether some similar kind of language could be put in.
Well, and that would deal with anything that was built. And the one that I was talking about was on Amendment 67, which would deal with things that were sort of incubating. And
all things incubating or things specific to this?
Well, the actually would be all things incubating, because we have a whole bunch of things like the MIHU obligation and other changes that will affect plans that are in process. And so our intent was to change it from being technically complete as of the day the bill was adopted to being...
67?
Huh?
Yes.
67 just says changing from adopted to...
effective. The effective date. Not the adopted date, but the effective date.
The only problem I would have with that is...
Page 8, line 1 of the bill.
Greg, the concern is somebody has a house approved.
It's probably above the square footage that they would have to go get a conditional use for if they probably follow that conditional use category. That's my gut.
Okay, and what they want is since they've been approved, since they've now gone through everything that they needed to go through under the current regulations, they don't want to have the current regulations go into
it. To the board for size approval. Right. The board already approved location.
Do you have any idea, have they actually applied for a building permit?
I have no idea.
I mean, usually when they go to the trouble of going to the Ag Board, they are moving forward with some reasonable speed. But certainly put in some other more specific language, but the intent was, again, knowing that there are plans that people have been working on, and we want to give people a little bit time to see if they can't finish up so that the new rules don't impact them.
I wonder if we could do something. CC on page 8, it says applications for permits issued in accordance with 128 of these regulations are considered pending unless written approval is issued by DPC prior to the effective date of the legislation. Could we expand something like that?
Because you're on page 8 where?
Page 8, little c. So that's like line 14.
Okay, yes. And that really deals with building permits. The B, which is the one I was referring to, deals with things that are more typically subdivisions and site plans.
Going back.
Well,
seven.
C actually deals with permits, 128
right.
permits. But I'm thinking, could we expand upon that?
Building permits?
You know, because you wouldn't have a site development plan
in the
for
West.
Tenant house.
Can you guys work this out outside of this, all of us having
we
to be here?
We can try drafting something.
Yeah, I think in the interest.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe it's a building permit as well.
Yeah, I think we need to get through. I mean, we're now at
5:30. We have a lot of work to do tonight individually, and I want to get to that. So, what else do we have to discuss as a group?
Okay, is there anything else we need to do as a group?
Can we talk about?
Sure. What are you planning to withdraw? Anybody else?
I have two withdrawals.
Okay. You'll see, there's a problem. There's an amendment 259.
And the whole thing gets withdrawn.
Perfect.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. 59 or 159?
59. There is no 159.
Oh, there is no 159.
And they're better.
So
not
we're going 59.
And what's the Mary Kay number?
Oh, we will be by tomorrow.
Oh, I can't. No.
Did you say 159? Dr. Tolliver, what number did you say for Ms. Sagan?
1550,
I don't have them with me, though. Not 150,
that's Levering
Avenue. So, it's
50
and 50. No, it can't be
150. Oh, 50? 52. It was the one that was a duplicate of yours. So the two of you had filed.
That was 52, was already withdrawn. And then I've got this. I've got the CCT for 40.004, which is being withdrawn.
Which is what? I mean, it's not.
Oh, for the life of me, I can't.
Okay, well, let's get that, because otherwise it's going to be. Now, does that mean
she can give that to her later? We don't want to.
She's already got it.
For a
it's 50.
And 52 is withdrawn. Mm.
52 was withdrawn.
Okay. But I guess my question is, are those then not going on the script, or do we need to?
The script will announce if it's proposed that day. You can do it in various ways. But I propose that you simply announce at the beginning that the sponsors of the following amendments to that they be withdrawn. That way it's on the record that you withdrew them because numbers were assigned and they've been out on the web, and you don't have to go through the motions of voting to withdraw them because they're not a bill.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I also have another suggestion.
Okay.
I have a suggestion for another withdrawal if you might.
Yes,
like
withdrawals are good.
So I've got amendment number 10 on the CEF, which corrects but allows for Upton Road to be developed with the CEF. Included in it is for all properties, the minimum development size for any CEF district shall be 5 acres, and then immediately amendment 11, Ms. Tarasa, you have the minimum development size will be 5 acres in the CEF.
Okay, I didn't realize that yours, that was in 10.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, it's there.
Well, so if that's the case, then 11 will
be withdrawn.
Yeah,
just okay.
Okay. So I have a quick process problem. I'm going to suggest that tomorrow, if you guys agree, that we vote on the legislation first and then we do comp rezoning second.
Is this one piece of legislation?
Okay. Well, I will take a look at that, and we'll talk.
And
I'll talk to Dr. Tolliver, and we'll come up with something.
I just thought we should vote on the legislation for the month first, and then the conversation second. And then the other thing was. Are there any of these technical amendments, especially, that we can adopt on consent?
That's a good idea.
Particularly like the maps that are just corrections to show more accurately what percentage or whatever.
I don't know how we would identify who's comfortable with consent and not.
I think that's going to be.
How quick there are those reads if we're not.
150 minutes, pretty damn quick. I mean, pretty darn long.
We don't have to read the amendments.
You don't. We have to vote. Yeah. I don't know.
If you can provide a list by next time tomorrow of what you consider to be
sign off
on them.
I don't know that we should focus a lot of our energy on that. I think.
Wouldn't,
I mean, I'm just
you
not sure.
Maybe we could take a crack at identifying them, and then you could decide.
I would,
with
yeah,
them.
I mean, it. I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that.
Somebody
though,
could identify the ones that are not. Yeah. Well.
Technical.
Not simple technical.
Yeah, I mean, where you're changing a word that is not.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them at the beginning.
We may not be able to. I would order dinner.
Single family.
Start at 4:30. If we start on time, we're probably going to be here till 7:30, 8:30.
At least.
Well, would you like us to vote hungry?
I wouldn't.
You want dinner before?
Would you want Courtney to vote hungry?
No.
No. Let's vote on that. No. Nobody wants.
Just get some kind of light cheese and crackers.
No, I think that. Wait a minute. We can work this out. We don't have to work this out in a work session. I think it makes sense for us to break if we're taking a while to eat something. But we can figure out the logistics of that. Do we need to do that in a work session?
Yeah, maybe we can talk about this offline.
Yeah, I'm not sure everybody.
So
we'll figure out how to get you fed.
Administration, do you have amendments you plan on withdrawing?
But what we're going to look at them tonight. We're going to get back to you about which ones we think would be maybe done consent or how maybe combined, and then we will look at it from a withdrawal standpoint. I don't think.
Do we do anything else before we wait?
Mr. Rush also wants to wait.
Efficiency, but that doesn't mean rush. I just want to make sure that Dr. Tolliver is going to get what she needs as it relates to like withdrawals or anything, because she's the one that has to put all the stuff lined up so that it makes sense. Are you comfortable with what they're saying about looking at it tonight?
By what time can you get the consent agenda? I'm a little uncomfortable about having the administration do your
No, he suggested,
and then we can sign off.
And that's my concern about the time.
I'm not sure we should be doing consent. I agree with Dr. Tolliver. Okay. I'm not sure we should be doing it that way.
Yeah, I understand a desire to not have to vote all of the little ones, but I think that given the work that we have to do, it's almost better for us to simply just vote them through.
I think it was a good suggestion, only because if they're able to quickly run through them in 10 minutes, and it takes each of us 10 minutes individually versus the hour it'll probably take to read and vote on 50 amendments.
Read amendments.
Bill number and then go through.
How about this? We'll work on, we've got 22 hours left, and in part of that, Dr. Tolliver and I will talk about how to make it more efficient instead of discussing that here. I think we're okay. I think I hear what you're saying, and we'll try to figure out a way to. We'll take a look at. Okay. Anything else before we? Does Dr. Tolliver, do you need anything else before we?
I will go back and summarize what I heard as new assignments.
Yes.
I heard about 6 new amendments.
Can you send that?
And I will send that to all.
To the whole group.
Because this was all done in public.
Yes.
If I've misunderstood any of those assignments, let me know. I think it would be helpful to have some self-imposed by yourself. Amendment to amendment, because that's not the last step when you give us the idea. And I think you're going to want to start on time, because
we have a resolution.
If everybody could be up and finished by noon, you know, that gives us 4 hours to do amendments, have the Office of Oral Review.
I would prefer if we could do it by 11. I think 11.
Tonight would be good.
Okay, but the
I guess my thing is
11 yesterday would be good.
11 at the very latest, because I want Office of Law there.
Okay.
We have to bring Paul down to ask him certain things. It may take him a little bit longer to look at some of these things.
If Paul's listening, he really is going to need to be at the voting session.
Right.
Paul needs to be at the voting session.
Agreed. So can we agree to try really, really hard,
really, really
members
hard.
And administration, to have everything done and out by 11 a.m. tomorrow?
We will try really, really hard. Good idea. We're adjourned. Yeah. We're adjourned. Good idea.